Podcast. My name is DK Diamantes. His name is Bricky, and I am gonna mess up a quote today. Pretty much guaranteed. But before I do, if you enjoy today's episode and you want to support the podcast, consider heading over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get access to the Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you access to all of our posters in crispy HD digital format. And ooh, by the way, Bricky, new poster today. Are you ready to see?
I guess. Now, honestly, at this point, like, we've gone so far into both the good and the bad, I just genuinely don't know which one this is.
This hits all of your current interests, I think. So here is the new poster for you.
Okay. Oh, it does!
It hits all of your current interests.
This is great!
Right? Great stuff. It's the collaboration you never knew you needed.
I love how the Casterkin has just got like the thumbs up, like,
whatever. He's trying to give him
Gonna do gangbusters, my friend.
Oh yes, it was
What a
I tried to convince Shy to make them both big boobed anime women, but she didn't want to do that. So,
you know. I mean, honestly, it's not necessarily a Warhammer related thing. But if I got my Tomboy Eagle One pilot poster, I would be more than okay with that.
Hell yeah. Also, on a somewhat unrelated note, Ted actually hit us with the his interpretation of each of us if we were put through an AI filter. It's artwork that he did, but yeah, that we had.
The request of what an artist drawing what they think an AI would poorly draw of us.
Yes, he did it.
I want to see this.
Okay, so let's see. He had a little note. So I heard you wanted an artist interpretation of AI generated art. Well, you're in luck. And by luck, I mean you probably shouldn't ask me things because the result will most likely be the worst thing you've ever seen for my own entertainment. So I present to you my interpretation of you if the episode were thrown through a prompt generator. DK was particularly challenging because he's already a cat. Thankfully, he mentioned Barrett from the critically acclaimed video game Final Fantasy Rebirth, making the brainstorm process easier. But drawing DK as Barrett would imply he would benefit positively from this exercise, so he made me Kate Sith instead. You probably don't know who that is, do you?
I do not know who Kate Sith is.
It's the cat character. You know, when they drop the plate and then it shifts awkwardly character.
Yes, for like 10 seconds, and I was so confused.
That's Kate Sith. It's a character from Final Fantasy VII. He rides this big fat Moogle, and he's great in the new game, but yeah.
That's wild to me. But yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, you've gone like I'm hitting the oh fuck go back button here. We've gone too far into the cat world here, but that is what we asked for.
That is.
What do you got for Shy?
Well, okay. So
or my first.
Well, we'll do yours next.
Okay.
And speaking of curse for Bricky, it was something quite ridiculous. Adeptus Ridiculous. The result is 100% DK's fault and from a simple misunderstanding over being a little horse and the overuse of a Tim Allen reference. He says this is quintessentially the absolute worst thing I've ever done and is deleting it off his hard drive once it's done. There you go, sir. You are just a little horse.
Holy buckets.
Holy buckets.
That is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. But in a hyperbolic fashion, that is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that looks like it was thrown right through an AI filter.
Is this what
right on through?
Is this what the Inquisitor with the equine face is supposed to look like in Gaunt's Ghost?
That's him. That's totally him. He's got the equine face. Yeah.
Tim Allen looks like a serial killer in a Law and Order Special Victims episode.
Oh yeah, he totally does. he uses so the wrench terrible. On his victims. Yeah, yeah.
That's so bad. Holy hell, dude.
And as someone who peruses art on different websites, the amount of AI-generated slop of balloon women with massive badonkaroos is akin to some kind of psychological propaganda. I'm sorry in advance, Shy, but authenticity must be maintained, even if the result is straight-up cursed. And this is Shy's AI interpretation. There you go.
Oh my god.
Too many arms, too many fingers, too many wings. Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst by far.
I don't know if it's the worst. Yours is.
But Ted went with the early, I mean, let's be honest, AI models are getting really good right now. But yeah. He went with the initial AI that, like, there's so many her like hands look like toes, look like feet, but they're not, and it's, oh my god.
As a reminder to our hosts that make requests of me, know that your wish is not granted without a price. It's a monkey's paw with each bringing untold consequences. Hope this little exercise has been as enlightening and traumatizing as it has been for me. See you next week, Ted Zero. There you go.
I got it. You know what? Chat can vote on which one they think is the worst, because
I think it's yours. I think yours is gonna clear.
I don't know, man. I think the effort into doing the incorrect AI, like too many hands, too many fingers thing, makes me more upset.
Okay.
Because, like, me as a horse is pretty cursed, don't get me wrong. and Tim Allen is not a great addition to this.
Nah, he's gonna haunt my dreams for a while.
But they look correct for the most part, except for Tim Allen has one too many fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Shy's does look just weird. That's true.
You're just a cat.
Yeah, I'm just a cute cat, but that's Kate Sith, you know? He's just a little guy. In Rebirth, he is adorable. No. He's just a little guy. He's great.
You know me.
I do. You should still play it. It's a good game. Even if you don't understand, it's still a good game.
I didn't like the original remake.
That's because you didn't play the original game. This is different.
Right, and so I don't know if I'm... it doesn't matter. Anyway. Are you ready, sir? Since this was a very long opening, but it was worth it.
I was really hoping you'd just forget the quote and all this stuff. I was just kind of hoping you'd forget the quote.
So, like, there's a couple quotes. It's a couple.
A couple quotes.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
One kind of will prime you, and the other one should set you up for a home run, or at least, like, second base.
All right, well, let's give it a shot. Let's go.
All right.
Casey takes the plate.
A warrior may become as skilled with a blade as he wishes, but he is still subject to the fickle whim of his destiny and his doom. We who walk the path of the seer take destiny into our own hands and wield doom as our blade.
This seems like a some kind of farsight, farseer deal. Lots of blades makes me think Eldar. Future Sight makes me think Eldar. I'm not sure if there's like a specific warrior enclave that sees into the future or something. Maybe, but I'm gonna go with another Eldar episode where we're doing some Future Sight people.
Okay, all right. So we're primed up. You're up to bat.
Okay. Am I close?
I'm not telling you yet. Second quote, such vile alien necromancy is despicable. It is right that we view with suspicion any who use these illicit methods. Even if we are forced to work with them, we are not to trust them.
All right, so this is definitely some sort of Imperium thing.
No, it's not.
Wow, really? Vile alien stuff?
First quote was more related to the topic. Second quote is, it's like, First quote sets up the faction. Second quote sets up the concept. It just was said by an Inquisitor.
Oh, I... Well, you, obviously it was said by an Inquisitor.
The other quote I have makes it too easy, so...
Yeah, all I got is some sort of farsight, some future stuff. I don't know.
Think Eldar and think necromancy.
Eldar?
Vile alien necromancy. What could that mean?
I mean, kind of sounds like something the Drukhari would do, you know, with their horrible experiments and bring the dead back to life. And they're always doing stuff with the soul stones, like we talked about. That's technically necromancy because they're using their dead to literally power everything. So are we doing maybe like the Infinity Matrix or just a Soul Stone episode?
Okay, well, that's close enough. Shai is here a little bit late today, so she's not able to yell at DK, so he gets me today, which is
hooray!
Better
you're
or worse.
You're much nicer than okay. Shai when I am big dumb about the quote.
So you're correct. We remember in the last episode we talked a little bit about the whole like Wraithbone and Spirit Stones and all that kind of jazz.
Wraithbone, that's yeah. That's the that's what the Soul Stone powers up. That's what everything's made out of. Yeah.
So today is after 12 minutes of already talking. we are today is Wraithbone. It's Wraithbone and like Wraith stuff and Spirit Stones and just
okay.
Honestly, it's just like Eldar necromancy.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I hadn't really, like, until that last quote, I hadn't really put together that, like, using soul stones was basically just pseudo-necromancy, but it kind of is, because you're using dead spirits to, like, power stuff and move big old pseudo-knights. So, yeah, I mean, it basically is just, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, as with most Eldar things, I don't initially understand it as well as I would like. And then, like most Eldar things, I look it up and I'm like, wait a minute, this is actually really cool. How come there isn't more books about this? And then
because they're not in the Imperium.
That, and also because, as far as I'm aware, viewers can correct me, there are not a lot of great Eldar books. I'm pretty sure the best Eldar books are like fine to decent and not much past that. Like I don't know anyone who's ever like, oh, you gotta read this Eldar thing, you know?
You gotta read the Eldar book. You gotta.
Yet, yeah, ironically, the Eldar probably have some of like the most in-depth. Maybe not the most in-depth lore, but, you know, they're kind of second fiddle. Like, the Imperium obviously take the largest amount of space in the Warhammer world. I guess you could say Chaos is number two, but, like, when it comes to the aliens, Eldar are basically top dog when it comes to all of their stuff, their lore. Mm-hmm. You know, they were around in the beginning times. Yeah. Everything else afterwards.
The only times I remember the Eldar showing up in Warhammer books that we've read is kind of just like, uh-oh, the Eldar showed up and now they're causing trouble too. And it's never really like this super in-depth thing. Apparently in Big Daka, you get a lot of Drukhari stuff. I still haven't started that. I probably should. But yeah, it seems like they're always like kind of sort of second fiddle and they always kind of just show up.
Well, so that is a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy because we do choose the books and the books we've chosen have not been Eldar books.
That's fair, too. Yeah, I guess we really haven't delved into Eldar-centric books. Yeah.
That being said, you know, you are right. The end of the Night Lords trilogy is when Eldar kind of show up and cause problems. And at the end of War Boss, Eldar show up and cause problems.
Mm-hmm, they sure do.
So it is what it is. And, you know, Eldar actually play a pretty major role in... Rogue Trader as well.
Steal a sun.
If you can get past Act 3 without having horrible, horrible bugs.
Oh.
So anyway, Wraithbone.
Wraithbones.
Wraithbone is kind of... Eldar basically make everything out of this stuff.
Yes.
There's very little they don't make out of it. And so,
if it has a soul stone in it, it's made out of Wraithbone. And that's literally all of their stuff.
It's a lot of their stuff. So basically, the verbatim definition of Wraithbone is it is a psychoplastic substance utilized for the construction of buildings, ships, and weapons. This is basically the way to take warp energy, actual like energy from the warp, and solidify it, crystallize it, turn it into a physical piece of matter, which isn't like unheard of as a concept. You know, sometimes the warp will leak and that's how you get demons on stuff. And, you know, it might be more of like a gaseous looking form, all the weird purpley, like whoa, kind of stuff.
Yeah. So and where does Wraithbone come from? Well, you're probably going to get to that. Because you said it was like a psychoplastic?
It's a psychoplastic substance. It is the... is the layman's definition, I suppose. Wraithbone is solid warp energy. It's solidified warp energy. But certain Eldar people, because they are all psychic to varying degrees, there is a particular role in the Eldar society called a Bone Singer, which is like the coolest name I've ever heard.
it's taking all of my willpower not to make the joke that is sitting right there.
Bone Saw?
Bone. Well, yeah, I was gonna be like, yeah, I can sing to my, anyway. Forget about it.
Oh. I was thinking
a boner joke, you know.
I was thinking Bone Saw is ready.
Bone Saw is ready.
I'm giving you 3 minutes for each show. Three minutes on the wrong of playtime.
Of history, Spider-Man.
I love my husband too, Spider-Man.
Anyway, Wraithbone.
Wraithbone. So the Bone Singers are members of the Eldar, and that's one of the paths you can go across is the path of bones.
The path of bones.
Bones.
Yeah, for some reason, whenever people talk about Wraithbone, I just assumed it was like bones that they harvested from, I don't know, more dead Eldar or something, or somewhere like when an Eldar's body finally gives away and their soul goes into the soul. So it's like, oh, harvest the bones so we can make constructs and the dead pilot, the skeleton bones of whatever, you know, just complete necromancy.
That's some like Lion Son of the Forest shit right there.
I mean, well, yeah, I guess a little bit. Yeah.
These chains are made of the iron in the blood of the whole planet.
God, the whole damn planet. Just to chain down one Primarch for a little bit.
Yeah. Sheesh. Anyway, Wraithbone is not bones. It is solidified warp energy.
Yeah.
Much like, well, maybe not much like, but, you know, you think about stuff like dry ice. You know, or maybe just any kind of gaseous thing that can turn into a liquid, that can turn into a solid. Mm-hmm. You know, there are states of matter. Warp energy can be, due to the Eldar's innate psychic ability, sung, I guess, into a solid piece of matter.
God, that makes Wraithbone so much cooler that it's just solidified warp energy. They just, like, sing to the warp and they just, like, construct it into stuff. That's cool.
It is really cool. And I mean, it's a very difficult process, hence why...
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, hence why there is an entire path for this. But it is an incredibly strong substance. It's stronger than any known plasteel. It's tougher to damage than a lot of adamantium. Mm-hmm. And it will also naturally heal itself and repair itself. a lot like the Necron's Necrodermis, though I don't think as fast...
Still, I mean, that you basically have self-healing material is pretty great, and you've got an endless supply. It's not like with humans where it's like, ruh-roh, we're running out of lumber for some reason. You got an endless supply of warp energy. You're never going to run out of that.
While true, you got to think of it in another way. If you're constantly building up Wraithbone because you're a psyker, what are you tempting as an Eldar?
Oh, that's true. I guess Slaanesh would be like, what's that? I taste it in the air.
Yep. So
big sniffer.
Big sniffer emote.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so, you know, doing psychic stuff as an Eldar is already a really tough path to walk because you then tempt Slaanesh a bit more. And so, you know, the more psychic stuff you use, the more you open up the warp hole suck theory that I made that one time. But, you know, yeah. You are a much more potent hole because you are Eldar.
Hey, I am not a potent hole, all right? Just you calm down with that, all right? I'm looking to settle down with the right female, all right? I am not a potent hole. You stop that.
If you keep saying settling down with the right female, you're not going to get any bitches.
it's true. Excuse me, madam. You seem like the right female attending this emporium of liqueurs.
Bone singer that. How about you bone some bitches?
Oh, man. I'm going to be forever alone, dude. I am forever alone.
Listen, There's a gentleman that I'm doing a collab stream with tomorrow named Heavenly Father.
Oh, I know him. He's great. He's crazy, but great.
And I will always remember the meme I saw years ago of like, Heavenly Father, the only man to walk the path of the flesh and VTuber yet remains maidenless. And and buddy, I think you could replace Heavenly Father with DK Diamantes, and you got it.
Yep, pretty much. When's the Bricky VTuber debut, man? You are just one.
I got my VTuber
step
already.
Away. No actual VTuber.
No.
You know, hey, brother. You
enough money with the right cost. Anyway, speaking of VTuber, you think Eldar have VTubers? No,
guaranteed.
They wouldn't. No, it wouldn't be them. It'd be someone else. It'd be a different faction. It'd be the Tao. Yep.
Tao would have Eldar, yeah. Or Tao would have VTubers. Yep.
God damn it, we're off the rails. This is what happens when Shai's not here.
Oh, this is what happens when she... Well, even if she was here, we would just tell her to shut up and keep doing it. So, yeah, it's fine.
That doesn't end well for either of us. The most recent image in the chat is still her, and she just keeps staring into my soul.
Just staring at us.
I hate it.
Back on topic, Bricky.
Talos.
Talos.
So, Wraithbone, right? So yes, it's built up like this way, but Wraithbone, as its own right, is almost like a, I want to say processor, but I'm not good enough at computer hardware to really be 100% sure. So maybe like a circuit board. Basically, Wraithbone acts like a gigantic, it is a circuit. Mm-hmm. It's both a hardened material, simultaneously a circuit. So when Eldar, because it's crystallized warp energy, or solidified, whatever, when Eldar commune with it psychically, they operate it like a machine. It has psychic network and pathways. So your psychic impulses as an Eldar will travel through the Wraithbone to do what you need to do. Fire the gun, fly left, fly right, activate shields, etc.
Wow. Yeah. So who was the first person that realized they could do this? I don't know if you're going to get to it, because how do they at one point be like, oh, I know, I'm going to blah, 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 sing to you, warp, and then, oh, wow, look, it made plastic that is an insanely good material, but also a circuit board. Like, who did that?
Well, I mean, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100. I don't know when they first discovered this. I'm assuming it was during like the war in heaven.
Yeah, it's probably before the Imperium was even a thing, right? Because
it was probably during the Silent King's War 60 million years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know when they started doing like Wraithbone. It's just such a part of Eldar culture, like craft worlds. A craft world ship is made of Wraithbone.
Wraithbone, yeah.
Yeah, like it is a gigantic Wraithbone construct. And so.
Because it's just such a crazy thing to be able to do, to just like harness the warp in such a way that you solidify it into material that it's like, wow, that's a big brain thing to do. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was taught to them by the old ones during the war in heaven. Oh, who knows?
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah,
it's such a major part of Eldar culture. I'm not quite sure. I mean, if you look up like for example, Inveril Brightshard, she's a famous Eldar bone singer and she's famous for constructing the first Infinity Circuit on the Eanden craft world. So, you know, that's a cool thing they did, but that's just for the one craft world. And, you know, craft worlds were made as Exodus ships when they realized what was going on.
Yeah, when they realized, like, we should, you know what, we've gone too deep. Let's get out of here.
Gone too deep.
I don't know that one, actually.
And I've gone too deep, and I want to sleep. Shit. That's
fine. Yeah, hey, you hit me with a song that I didn't know the reference to.
Get that one. Damn. But anywho, yeah, so craft worlds as well are giant wraith constructs too. So describe it well, wraith bone is a crystallized physical creation of warp energy that acts as a massive conductor / circuit board for psykers. Specifically, certain Eldar are able to use this wraith bone in a certain way that makes them skilled to operate in whatever. This can be weapons, this could be a tank, this can be all kinds of stuff.
Literally anything for an Eldar. Their armor, their guns, their boots, their planes, their craft. That's so cool. That's actually really, really dope.
And it can be, rebuilt. You can kind of like...
Can a bone singer melt down wraith bone, turn it back into the warp, and then reform it into something else?
So it's I guess so. I believe so. Normally it's more like you repair it, you know?
Sure.
For example, you know, like wraith bone will slowly heal itself, but a bone singer can heal it really quickly and of like meld it up, you know? Yeah, I cast mend. You know,
and then the armor just immediately smooths out, and oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, for example, this is related to the Spirit Seer. Bone Singers themselves don't have models in the tabletop.
I was about to ask, like, do they work as healers in the tabletop?
So no, I think they had Bone Singers in like third edition a while ago.
Okay.
But they don't have it anymore. What they do have instead are things called Spirit Seers. This kind of is a good segue, I'd say. Spirit Seers, which I mentioned in the beginning, the Path of the Seer, is the entire ability for an Eldar to commune with the dead souls preserved in the Craft World's Infinity Circuit. Okay. These are the literally necromancers. They speak with the dead.
Yeah, they speak with the dead. Yep. They talk with all the souls swirling around in the Infinity Circuit. I assume they can also talk with a soul that's in a soul stone. Because it's kind of the same thing.
I would assume so. I mean, maybe they need to put it in the circuit first and then they do it. But
Yeah.
So spirit stones, soul stones. They're psychoreceptive crystals, but they're normally known as waystones. And they're grown not from wraith bone, but like a similar kind of thing to wraith bone, different kind of make.
Still formed from warp energy though?
I would assume.
Okay.
And so the waystone it's like a trap. It's like a ghost trap from like Ghostbusters.
Right. Well, yeah, that's yeah, except they want to go in it. Well, when they die, they want to go in it. Or I guess they probably don't care. Like, it's not like a ghost that's being trapped in, you know, hell or something. It's just, you know,
so
purgatory for them.
Well, for the most part, it's like, okay, well, DK, which would you prefer? Being stuck into the soul stone and then being put into the matrix of your ship, or eternal damnation?
Matrix.
Yeah, Matrix.
Every time. No doubt about that. Yeah, definitely put me in the Matrix. Let me power the ship. Yeah, even in death, I still serve.
Yeah, that's a good point. They even got that. Hold on. I have the meme for this. Ah, perfect.
Damnation.
Damnation.
What is that bird, though?
I don't know.
Yeesh.
So this is basically a psychic trap. So, you know, a scrawny Eldar gets his head cut off by an orc choppa, and instead of its soul being eaten by Slaanesh, it gets trapped into this tiny little soul stone. And the goal is that the remaining Eldar will then gather the missing stones and then bring them back to the craft world to put them in the Infinity Circuit. And that helps them power the ship, because a craft world is made out of Wraithbone, and your psychic consciousness is in the stone, so you can psychically power the ship.
Power the ship. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Which cool. is which cool. is the Infinity Circuit.
Yep. Yep. Or they'll put you in someone's armor, or a what is it? Wraith Knight? Knight? What are their knights called again?
Ah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
But yeah, so you know that goes into the Infinity Circuit, and then which is like the skeleton of a craft world. Mm-hmm. And it allows it to, you know, it, people can like commune with the Infinity Circuit, which is literally talking to your ancestors and all that kind of jazz. Because, you know, it's very feudal kind of Japanese style we got going on in the in the craft world Eldar here.
Yep. They're pulling off the old Mulan, you know, who is that? You know, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Talking with the ancestors, and then Mushu pops out, you know.
Isn't Mulan Chinese?
Yeah. But, you know.
Well, yeah, the Eldar grab a little bit from all kinds of
thing.
You know Eldar Exodites, right?
Yes, they're the dinosaur riding ones, right? Or the lizard riding ones? Yeah,
yeah. One of them bit Trazen in half.
Exactly. That's how I remember them. Is I was like, oh, they're the ones from Trazen. Oh, dinosaurs. Yep, 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 yep.
Trazen, on a whole, did not like being dead.
Very casually. I'm not a big fan of this dead thing.
So if you are actually a an Exodite, instead of having an Infinity Circuit, you have something called a World Shrine, because you're on like an Exodite world. So in a sense, it's like you're working with like the world, in a sense, the planet they're on, the Exodite, the old school type thing, instead of a craft world. So it's the World Shrine, or the World Spirit, you know?
That's cool, World Shrine. There's just, that has a nice ring to it.
It is. And so, you know, those are the general concept of spirit stones. There are also some neat other types of stones. I think they got something called dream stones. Oh, yeah, it is, dream stone. So like a dream stone, for example, you actually have it with you when you go to sleep to guard their minds from Slaanesh, which is the high, besides using psychic powers, one of the biggest, or was it the biggest weak points for the Eldar is when they're asleep.
Oh, really? Slaanesh can get you when you should. Like, Slaanesh is literally the boogeyman.
So, or boogie, or boogie.
Boogie person.
Boogie person.
Boogie person.
God knows what Slaanesh is.
but really, Slaanesh can get an Eldar while they're sleeping if they don't have a dreamstone?
So if you think about it, when you're, well, so it's not like they just automatically get them. It's to kind of help.
Right.
To guard their minds from Slaanesh when they sleep. Because when you think about it, you know, your mind travels a million miles a minute when you're asleep.
Sure.
And you know, you dream things that are just so out there. Mm-hmm. And then you got to think about what an Eldar would dream with their heightened emotions and heightened everything.
Yeah, it probably would be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a beacon, but yeah, if their dream wanders and it gets depraved enough, it probably could send off a little bit of a signal to a hungry chaos god.
It's actually one of the things that humans like to use to force away the warp from chaos. Sometimes navigators will have them to stop the horrible nightmares that they have from exposure to the warp.
Oh, that's got to be an expensive thing to get from the Eldar. I'd be like, can we borrow one of your, or do they make their own dreamstones, or how does a human get a dreamstone?
The same way humans get all other kinds of alien artifacts, either
kill the Eldar and then take it from them,
or maybe a rogue trader trades with some Eldar perchance, or an inquisitor finds a way to get some, you know
finds a way.
Yeah. The rules apply a lot less with time.
Yeah, especially since, they're just Xenos, it's fine, whatever. We're the Imperium, we don't care about those filthy Xenos.
Oh yeah, I forgot, our rogue trader friend, Janus, the guy with the monocle, they have a Farseer as part of the retinue, and they gave a Dreamstone to him.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah, neat stuff. Cool.
Cool.
So though so Dreams aside, so the Spirit Seer, because you have your Spirit Stones, your Way Stones first. So it's a Way Stone, but then when you die and there's a soul inside of it, it becomes a Spirit Stone. Way Stone first, Spirit Stone second. The Spirit Seers, God, it's a lot of seers.
The Spirit Seers, a lot of stones.
They follow the path of the Seer, which allows them to commune with the souls of dead Eldar, specifically in the Infinity Circuit, which is just, you know, in times of like peace, is just kind of chilling, talk to your ancestors, keep the wisdom of the past alive, make sure things are good, you don't lose anything, et cetera, life is good. But in times of war, they will use that ability to instead empower the living dead, which are the Wraith constructs, the Wraith Guard, Wraith Lords, and Wraith Knights, as well as Phantom Titans, I assume.
Okay. Yep. You gotta put your dead brother's soul stone in there.
It's the Path of Seer is one of the harder paths to do as an Eldar, mainly because, one, the Eldar don't much like talking to the dead.
Really?
No, or bringing them back into battle. They don't much like that.
Huh.
Dreadnoughts in the Imperium are very much like, even in death I still serve and all that.
Yeah.
But no, the forced use upon the dead and not allowing them to rest is pretty anti-Eldar-y.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Well, not only is it anti-Eldar, where it's like, oh, you know, we got to just let him rest, but it's also a huge risk. Like, the fact that you could, like, put, you know, your dead ancestor into a Wraith construct, and then, whoops, that's a Titan, you just got killed, and you just lost your ancestor forever.
Can you
imagine? That's a huge risk.
Can you imagine, like, the genuine, what's the phrase? Like the genuine like heart pain and dishonor an Eldar would experience when they get revived into a Wraith construct from their ancestor hundreds of years ago, and a giant like Tyranid Carnifex just eats them,
rips them apart,
or just bites them to death, and that's it.
Your second death, experience like, death the first time, and then you get
It's like, God, what horrid dishonor upon you for that kind of thing.
At least the Eldar would be too dead to feel the dishonor. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but their soul is in that.
Oh, that's right. I guess if they died that second time, would their soul go back to would their soul go to the warp, or would it go back to
a spirit stone?
Yeah.
I would assume
if it's a spirit stone. But if they're in a Wraith construct, wouldn't they already be in a spirit stone? And then if they get killed again and the spirit stone is lost, I don't know. This is too complicated. Too many hypotheticals.
There's a Wraith construct. There's plenty of stones on him.
God, yeah. There's a couple of stones on that guy. Yeah, that's fair. But aren't each of those a different person?
You know, I actually don't know about that. I thought for the most part that a Wraith construct would just be like one of the dead ghost warriors for the most part. But I mean, I don't know. Like, they all have the spirit stone that has them drawn out of the Infinity Circuit, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's maybe the combination of multiple dead Eldar, because there are a lot of stones on that guy.
Yeah, there's like five on one side of his helmet.
Right. Or if it's more like just additional way stones to just help power the thing. I that's a great question. I'm not sure. Because I know, for example, a Wraith Knight is it's like the whole Ava thing where it's like it's twins. It's one living Eldar.
And then your dead brother.
And then your dead twin.
Yeah.
And then you're dead twin. So there's only two, but the Wraith Knights are enormous.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and they also have plenty of stones on them. So, I'm willing to bet that a stone is assisting in the powering. It's not one dead person for every single one of them. Or maybe it is. And maybe it's like a conduit. Maybe it assists with the conduit section. It's like nodes for the psychic energy. That's
that also why they have the infinity symbol on their helmet? Because it's like, you know, Infinity Matrix.
I didn't even notice that. I don't know. That could just be part of the craft world.
Could be. Oh. Yeah,
no, because other Wraith constructs have different symbols on them.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That specific one had an infinity symbol, and I was like, well, Infinity Matrix is maybe where that guy came from, and yum, 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 yum.
Actually, this, you know, that's actually a great, that's actually a fantastic question. There are a there are a lot of stones on that. A
lot of stones.
Yeah, huh.
I've been dead for thousands of years. What have you revived me into? A dorsal fin on a Wraith construct.
Yeah, you get to be the fin number three.
Watch our back.
Hey! You have an entire familial line of 10 people on the barrel of the cannon. Yeah,
you have a generation, a family's whole generation, just the barrel. Watch the heat on the barrel, guy.
I gotta be honest. The Eldar don't have a particularly large population, so I don't know if they can afford that many dead souls. So I'm going to assume there's like a central spirit stone, and then the rest is like, you know, nodes to power. And
yeah,
you
know, I would agree as well. That is if all of those stones each had a person, that's an awful lot of risk for one Wraith construct.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's a fair guess. I think that's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, regardless. So the Spirit Steer will obviously bring out the dead from the Infinity Circuit to enter in either the Wraith Guards or, you know, sometimes it's a Wraith Lord, which is a much larger one. And of course, there's the Wraith Knight. Mm-hmm. But Wraith constructs, for the most part, are just the living dead because that psychic, you know, instead of making a tank or a gun out of Wraith bone, you've made a walker. And then you put the stone in there, and that psychic power allows you to control the walker.
Yeah. God, I never thought of the Eldar as necromancers, but now it's just like, yeah, that makes perfect sense as to, they're necromancers. They're dealing in they're dealing in dead souls.
They are reviving the dead and putting them in a body.
Yeah. Yeah, they're necromancers. I never looked at them like that.
I mean, like, granted, this is the path of the spirit seer for the necromancy, and it is not something the Eldar much love, but when you are so darn low on recruits and your species is massively underpopulated, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you do. You gotta put the dead to work.
You may remember the Eendon craft world. It's the one with that horrible yellow and blue color that I hate so much.
Oh yeah, the one that looks like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, the Marge Simpson one. That's right.
Oh man, those are awful. Those are so bad.
It's unfortunate too because they are actually a really neat craft world that got pretty bodied, and so they make the use of a ton of Wraith constructs in their army because they need to. And so it's actually like an army of the walking, the living, the dead live again, the dead rise
the
again.
Walking dead.
Actually, I just,
see, they'll have the infinity symbol too.
They do. Maybe this is specifically for the Wraith, Wraith Guard.
Yeah, maybe.
I must say, I didn't actually appreciate this back in the day. I mean, well, I appreciate it because it looks amazing. But there is someone who actually painted, let me show you this. They painted an Eldar Wraith Knight, like the Dia de los Muertos style, which I was like, oh, what a great paint job. That's really cool. But now that you think about it,
that makes
like
so
totally
much
on
sense.
Brand.
Yeah, that's totally on brand. Also, God, that's great.
It's such
that's
a good paint job.
So cool. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's such a good paint job.
That's like, amazing. Let's go.
Painter and, absolutely
like you said,
crushed
so
it.
On brand. So on brand for what it is. Oh, that's great. Yeah, love it. Love it.
Yeah, so, you know, being the kind of the dead rise again thing. Also, spirit seers are a thing you can run in-game, and you actually attach them as characters to lead Wraith units. And you can actually revive your bodyguards, your bodyguard units up.
Okay.
I think because there's the concept that this is like the more religious aspect of the Eldar, but it's the idea of like each wraith construct is it's either rebuilt. It's like Isha's tears, the tears of Isha.
Oh.
Who is currently, as we know, in Nurgle's jar.
Yeah, I was going to say she's stuck in the jar, and she is a lot of tears coming from that.
A lot of tears from that.
Yeah.
I like how I'm wanting to the point where we get so deep into that meme where people will like start spreading the misinformation that Nurgle actually has a jar. Yeah. That actually contains Isha.
Disclaimer, Isha is not actually in a jar in Nurgle's abode.
That being said, spiritually...
Well, yes, yeah, spiritually, Eldar are kind of in the jar when they die, aren't they?
I mean, they there is a certain jar.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think Isha's tears are supposed to be the jewels. They're like the communion jewels, like the stones and stuff.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. The Tears of Isha are spirit stones that contain the spirits of the most powerful and revered Eldar in ages past. That's right. So in game, the Spirit Seer has an ability called Tears of Isha, which is when it's your turn, if there's any Wraith Guard units that are dead, you can bring one back alive.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah. And it makes sense because, you know, you're kind of like, you're rebuilding the Wraith Bone, you know?
Yeah. Perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
If I'm also not mistaken, we talked about this a bit before. The Aspect Warriors, the Phoenix Lord, like Jane Zar and Azra Min,
And Maugen Ra.
Their armor is like, it's like a hollow armor shell of like a consciousness of the old Phoenix Lords, right? Because once you put
right.
it on.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're no longer whoever you were. You are now Jane Zar.
Yeah, you are the Phoenix Lord, and you cease to be whoever you were before. Yeah. Eldar just keep getting cooler and cooler.
Yeah, those bastards.
Oh, they're great. You still have trauma from back when they would just steamroll everyone on the tabletop, huh? Still, even to this day, huh?
You know, there has not been a single goddamn... edition of Warhammer where Eldar have not been like a problem.
Really? Every edition Eldar are a problem?
How do you properly balance an army that's supposed to hit like freight trains and move away so they cannot be hit? You know, really? Like how do you properly balance an army that is hyper glass cannon, but the way you like our glass cannon is because you're so fast and you're
that
moving so quick
can hit you. Yeah, you're like right. This sort of traditional traditional glass cannon, but you know,
on right, like you're you know,
on a rocket,
it's like how they had to balance Genji for so damn long, you know. It's just and then so, you know, 7th edition came around, and then like Wraith Knights were insane as monstrous creatures, and then 8th edition came around and they were giving you -3 to hit. And so I couldn't even shoot people with my guard army. And then 9th edition came around. And they were actually, I mean, they were very good in 9th edition. But they had like 5,000 psychic spells. It took an hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in 10th, they were the best army by far. Have been nerfed 5 times and are still like top 5.
So what you're saying is you're going to start an Eldar army.
If I think we talked about this. If I was to ever start an Eldar army, it would be an Aspect Warrior based army. It would be Jane Zar and the Banshees.
Hell
and
yeah.
Like Fugin and like the Fire Dragons. But I would only ever start an Eldar army if I knew that my minis were gonna be recent and like and not replaced soon.
Right, right.
And considering the fact that most of the Aspect Warriors and models, the Warp Spiders just turned, I think, 30.
Oh, and they have seen no addition in 3 decades?
The Warp Spiders were first released in 1994. The current Warp Spider miniature is older than I am.
1994 was 30 years ago?
Yes, sir.
I don't like that.
And you know what? Paint-wise, it's not terrible. It's the scale.
Oh, yeah, it is this. They're so chunky and weirdly out of proportion. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, they are very stubby. I would honestly be hotter on the Eldar as a faction if their goddamn miniatures weren't so old. Because they recently updated the Howling Banshees, and they look great.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the updated Howling Banshees, and they are phenomenal.
Have you seen the updated Jane Zarr?
I have. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They
updated.
Like,
there aren't too many updated minis that they miss on.
No, the new sculpts, they mostly hit really hard.
Super hard. So just, you know, yeah. do that more, G-Dub.
Yeah, just do it. Just do it more.
Just do it. Do it. What, you don't like money? Just do it.
Yes, I'm actually pretty surprised they haven't made massive range refreshes to Eldar, because it has been a while.
And they're a popular, really popular faction that's always good. So it's like that, you not like money? Just print it.
I think the big issue is that a lot of Eldar factions are, like, they're only a little popular. The issue comes down to playing them. You have to be really good. Because of the style of army. And so if you aren't and you miss position, you just die. But also, no one wants to collect them because their models suck.
They're super old, yeah.
Yeah, and which really sucks, because when you talk about an episode like this and we talk about, like, oh, hey, your Wave Serpent, which is an Eldar tank, your Wave Serpent is actually made of Wraithbone, psychically powered by the dude inside. And then you're being reinforced by the squad of 10 living dead ancestors, you know, backed up.
Yeah, that's
up.
So cool sounding. I love, yeah. Like, God, the Eldar, just every episode we do on the Eldar, I become more and more a fan of them, because they just, everything sounds so cool.
But then you look at the minis and you're like, oh.
It's 30 years old.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had that whole episode on the Phoenix Lords, and like, Fugin, like just the fiery revenant, and then you know Malgun Raw.
Malgun at least got the update. Well, he got an updated mini, right? Yeah, and it looks so cool. It's so edgy.
Yeah, the thing is though is that Malgun Raw. Did actually the Dark Reapers get their new update?
I don't know.
Dark Reapers 40K
new.
Oh, they did. I think they did. Yeah. I don't like their heads. They look like egg.
They look like egg. Oh, yeah, they do. I feel like you showed this to me at some point, and I was like, yeah, if they didn't have egg heads, they would be really, really great. I feel like at that point, you just need to, like, make it all black.
Yeah, you need to make paint it all that way. Yeah. I mean, granted, they do have hooded variants, and that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, with the hood, it's a lot better, actually. It, like, with the hood, it really looks more like a skull and less like an egg.
See, I like this. This is official Games Workshop art, I believe, and I just like how like, frustrated he looks. He's like,
He does, doesn't he? He's pouting.
It's actually kind of crazy when you look at their guns, too, because their guns are clearly Wraithbone-made guns with all that weird curvature
and strange
stuff, which actually, you know, it makes me wonder. I don't know how, to what extent these weapons, like, they're made of Wraithbone often, but maybe not all the time. And because I was thinking in, like, Warboss, for example, the human captive used a shuriken pistol and shot his way out. But you think if it was Wraithbone, it would only work with a psychic signal sent by psychic person.
Yeah, by an Eldar, yeah.
So I wonder if that was either just a quick slip-up on the act of the writer, or if it was something that's
Or if they maybe, just work a little different, or maybe it just works a lot better in Eldar hands.
Or maybe the Wraithbone just makes the gun, and you can still just shoot the gun by pulling the trigger.
Also, you know? Where it shows, like, their weapons, are all of those bulbs supposed to be soul stones, or is that just the way that gun looks? And it's just sort of a paint issue.
I think it's a Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's a paint issue. Because if you were to look at the Dark Reapers themselves, you could see their soul stones on their chest and their helmet. The light blue color.
Oh, soul stones. That's true.
So I think it might be a paint thing. It just might be like a protruding section. Though they do look like little soul stones.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Anyway. If there's any other like soul stone interesting. You know what? Let's look at the Shroud Runners. Because they were recent.
Shroud Runners. Ooh. It's such cool names, too. God, the Eldar. How can the you Shroud not like Runners, Eldar?
These are a new mini.
Ooh.
They're pretty cool. They also have the weird soulstone looking section of their vehicle.
Yeah, they also have like the little bulb that kind of sticks out that looks like it should be a soulstone, but it's not.
Yeah, it probably isn't. But I'm assuming they do. Yeah, maybe that kind of goes into the thing we talked about earlier, where the soul stones that are just or like the little stones that are littered across that Wraith construct are more so just parts and conduits, and that's what they are on these vehicles, for example.
Yeah.
Because you can actually see, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's a difference between a waystone and a soul stone, or a spirit stone is obviously when your soul is entered, and then you use waystones as a way to help control your things.
Sure.
I'm gonna look this up.
Hell yeah, brother. We are learning in real time.
Okay, waystone. Yeah, so is a waystone is the thing before a spirit stone, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's what is it, waystone, dreamstone, soulstone, and the tears of Isha, of course.
They like
the
jewelry.
I guess for the most part, it's just, you know what? We'll
get back to it.
This is some deeper lore. Because you get the idea of soulstones and waystones and all that stuff, but then there's the what are the things that look like they should be stones but are not painted as stones
on
the vehicles?
Maybe that's just the way they built it.
Shai can use her brand new text speech service and then yell at us and then give you all the answers.
Specifically, you can yell at Bricky because I'm always the uninformed one.
Ah, shit, you're right.
I don't get yelled at. Let's go, baby.
This is the high class concept. You don't know enough to be yelled at.
Yes. Yes. Ignorance is bliss, baby.
What a world world we've entered.
See, it is better to be stupid than it is to be smart.
That's not where I thought you were going, and I disagree.
Well, that's the world I live in. That is the copium I am currently
huffing. He's huffing it.
I am huffing it.
Mm. All right. Well, viewers, I hope you don't get too mad at me. I'm not always the best when it comes to the Eldar stuff, but I tried my best today. DK doesn't know any better, so
I don't know any better, but I know that this Wraithbone stuff is so cool, and it has given me like a new perspective on the Eldar, because I never thought of them as necromancers. I always just thought they were kind of like the speedy, you know, and clever, and I never considered them necromancers for some reason, and now it's just like, oh, that's so cool, and they can just like weave the warp into their that's so cool. I love it, I
guess in a sense not all of them are necromancers, you know, just the ones that are, you know, for that kind of thing.
Yeah, just like the,
but
but that's so cool.
That's your bone seer architects and all that.
That's so rockstar. Every episode we do on the Eldar, they just keep rising and rising. Rise up, Eldar. Rise up.
Rise up, Eldar bros. Rise up.
Rise up, Eldar chadlings.
Eldar chavling.
Yeah, chadlings. You know, when you're not quite up there at chad status, but you're climbing the ladder, you're a chadling, working your way up to chaddom.
God damn you.
I don't think that's a solid place to end it, right?
Yeah, we'll call that one right there. Well, all right. Post Eldar Giga Chad, I guess, unless Shai changes her mind and posts Orc Giga Chad.
Either way.
All right. Goodbye, world. Make sure that if you die, don't just enjoy eternal damnation.
If you die, don't enjoy eternal damnation.